Today's episode was chosen by my backers on Patreon. If you want weekly bonus episodes, ad-free versions of the show, and the possibility to vote on future episodes once a month, become a backer at patreon.com/bizarrealbums. Hi, my name is Tony Thaxton. Like anyone else, I love a great album. But I also love those strange albums that might make you wonder how and why they even exist. But I'm not here to make fun of them. I'm here to celebrate them and tell their story. This is Bizarre Albums.
Today's episode, Neil Young, Trans, from 1982.
That's Big Time Boy, the debut single by Canadian pop singer Shirley Matthews. In 1964, it was a huge hit in Canada, selling over a million copies. Around this time, Matthews had befriended a 16-year-old American musician named James Johnson, who had recently started playing with a Toronto band called the Sailor Boys. Shirley Matthews found out that Johnson had a secret. He was a fugitive. He'd been called up for active service from the U.S. Naval Reserves, and he ran to Canada to avoid serving. Matthews tried to help, suggesting that Johnson change his name. Her suggestion was Ricky Matthews, in honor of a cousin of hers that had passed away. Johnson would not only change his name, but his band name as well. The Sailor Boys became the Mina Birds, and James Johnson became Ricky James Matthews. Eventually, becoming simply Rick James. She's a super freak, she's super freaking now. The Mina Birds went through several band members. The following year, Bruce Palmer joined as the new bassist. They then started to almost completely reconfigure the band. Members of a fellow Canadian band called the Bunkies joined the Mina Birds. That guitarist, Tom Morgan, would only last about a year. His replacement? A 21-year-old local folk musician named Neil Young. In February 1966, the Mina Birds had secured a contract with Motown Records and began recording their record. The label was even preparing a single for the release, It's My Time. But neither the single nor the record would be released. Rick James was arrested for being AWOL from the Navy. And that was the end for the Mina Birds. Bruce Palmer and Neil Young sold the band's equipment and used that money to buy a hearse. They packed up that hearse and left Canada for Los Angeles. Once in LA, they tracked down an old friend, Stephen Stills. They'd been trying to track him down for nearly a week. Eventually, they saw him while they were stuck in traffic on Sunset Boulevard. Only a few days later, the three of them were already playing a show with their new band, Buffalo Springfield. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. That song, that you've heard in just about every movie that involves Vietnam, is called For What It's Worth. By March of 1967, the song was a top 10 hit. But despite the success, the band would break up only a year later. And not long after, Neil Young signed a solo deal with Reprise Records. On January 22nd, 1969, his self-titled solo debut was released. It never charted and received mixed reviews. Despite the lack of success, Young quickly looked ahead to album number 2. For this record, he recruited 3 members of a band called The Rockets, guitarist Danny Whitten, bassist Billy Talbot, and drummer Ralph Molina. The band would take the name Crazy Horse. In May of 1969, the first Neil Young with Crazy Horse album was released. Everybody Knows This Is Somewhere. This record would fare much better, peaking at number 34 on the Billboard 200, and eventually going platinum.
I can be happy the rest of my life with a single girl.
Not long after the release, Young suddenly pivoted, rejoining his old friend Stephen Stills in Crosby, Stills, and Nash. The group had already released an album and won the Grammy for Best New Artist in 1969. The band would now be known as Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. In 1970, their first album as a quartet, Deja Vu, went to number one on several charts around the world. It eventually went 8 times platinum and featured 3 hit singles. The success with Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young led to much bigger success as a solo artist. His next solo album, After the Gold Rush, this time without Crazy Horse, would peak at number 8. Not long after, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young once again became a trio without Young, and Crazy Horse had even signed their own record deal, separate from Young. So Neil Young began touring completely solo. He had his first and only number one hit in his career in 1972, with the release of the single Heart of Gold from his 4th album, Harvest. It would be the biggest selling album of the year.
I wanna live, I wanna give. I've been a miner for a heart of gold. It's these expressions.
Also in 1972, Young would see the birth of his son, Zeke. Zeke was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Zeke's birth, combined with the huge success of Harvest, made Young want to run from the spotlight. Here's Young talking about this time on VH1 Legends.
I think right after Harvest, I started feeling like I was getting in a box, and I had to get out of it. So instead of writing one kind of songs, I just turned around and wrote all the songs that I kind of wouldn't write before, and they just, all the other ones that were there.
This wouldn't be a commercially successful time for Neil Young. And he didn't care. He did things the way he wanted to do them. He was unpredictable. He proved his unpredictability even more when he reunited with Crosby, Stills, and Nash in 1974. They went on a massively successful tour with plans to make an album. And when it came time to start working on the album, Young backed out. Here's Young followed by David Crosby on VH1 Legends.
Well, I can be a team player, but I won't be a team player unless I can play my game. If you have to compromise what you're doing too much or lay back too much on something you want to do to be part of a team, I'm not a good team player there.
Neil, you can't predict Neil. You cannot. No one except Neil can tell you what Neil's going to do next week. And I like that about him.
The next several years saw more ups and downs and unexpected turns. He made a record with Stephen Stills, made solo records, made records with Crazy Horse. He even made some films. And though he jumped around often, it might be solo music, it might be loud rock and roll, but it was always Neil Young. But his personal life took another unexpected turn in 1978. When his son Ben was born. Ben was also diagnosed with cerebral palsy. 2 children from 2 different mothers. And cerebral palsy is not genetic. The odds of this happening are nearly impossible. But it happened to Neil Young, and his focus on his family drifted him further away from his audience.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Young had spent his entire career on Reprise Records. In 1982, after having 2 albums in a row that flopped, Young decided to sign with Geffen Records. Young had worked with David Geffen during his time with Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. In addition to the money, Geffen gave Young creative control on his albums. So, on December 29th, 1982, Neil Young released Trans on Geffen Records. The album kicks off with a song that seems like nothing really out of the ordinary for Neil Young. Little Thing Called Love.
What makes you hypnotize? What puts a tear in your eye? What makes you have to choose? What brings you the blues? Oh, little thing called love. Oh.
Right about now, you might be wondering, what is so bizarre about this album? It's Neil Young. Well, things take a drastic turn for track two, Computer Age. Young's vocals were heavily processed and there was heavy use of vocoder. This didn't sound like Neil Young. But that's just one song. So what does the next song sound like? Here's We Are In Control.
We control the data banks. We control the PC. We control the program. We're controlling traffic lights. We control the internet. We control the cheapest thing. We control the TV sky. We control the FBI. We control the police.
So how did Neil Young end up here with this new sound? It seems there's several factors. One of these factors was the new bands of the early 80s that Young was listening to. Here's Neil Young interviewed in Berlin in 1982.
I like all the new groups that are into the computer music. You know, basically not any one in particular. I just like all of them. And some of the, new wave? Yeah, I like that a lot. But I don't think it's a new wave. I think it's a continuation of something that's always been there. And it's, I like that kind of music. I don't like to listen to California soft rock music. Only my own California soft rock music. That's all I can handle now. I like to listen to Flock of Seagulls and what's that group, Human League. They got this thing out with it. All that stuff with the drum computers and the synthetic things is what I like.
Another factor was his son, Ben. Because of Ben's extreme cerebral palsy, he was unable to speak. When Young had started working on these songs in late 1981, he'd gotten two pieces of electronic equipment, a vocoder and a synclavier. The synclavier also appeared on some of Reactor, Young's final album for Reprise. He started experimenting with these as a way to communicate with Ben. For years, Young didn't reveal this in interviews. He eventually opened up about this, saying, quote, "At that time, he was simply trying to find a way to talk, to communicate with other people. That's what trans is all about. And that's why, on that record, you know I'm saying something, but you can't understand what it is. Well, that's exactly the same feeling I was getting from my son." End quote.
Well, his family have numbers, and they all
Geffen actually turned down the first album that Young completed for them. He intended the album to be called Island in the Sun. It was a tropical-themed album with songs about sailing, islands, and ancient civilizations. Three of these songs still ended up appearing on Trans, one of which was the album's opener, Another is Hold On to Your Love. The album has three credited producers. In addition to Young, there's David Briggs and Tim Mulligan, both of which had worked with Young on prior albums. And though the record is credited as Neil Young's solo, the members of Crazy Horse also played on the album, including occasional member Nils Lofgren from the E Street Band. And speaking of older bands, Young does a new version of Buffalo Springfield's Mr. Soul. The track listing and the liner notes both list a song called If You Got Love, but it's not on the album. This was due to David Briggs only having about a week to mix the entire record, plus a last-minute change in the album's sequencing. Briggs ended up reportedly hating his own mixes. In Shaky, Neil Young's biography by Jimmy McDonough, Young had planned to make several music videos with robots and humans to support the album, but Geffen wouldn't provide the budget to make them, even after Young himself offered to match half of the total budget with his own money. Some of the songs would end up appearing in Young's 1982 feature-length film Human Highway that he co-directed under the pseudonym Bernard Shaky.
I hate music.
Trans left most fans and reviewers confused upon its release. Park Peterbaugh's review for Rolling Stone started by saying, "Well, Mr. Weird is at it again," was one of the first reactions I heard to the synthesized sounds and vocoderized vocals that typify a lot of material on Neil Young's new album, Trans. Despite the confusion, it initially performed better than Young's two previous records. It debuted at number 19 and spent 17 weeks on the Billboard 200. Young himself likes the album. He even performed a few of these songs when he appeared on MTV's Unplugged in 1993. But David Geffen wasn't happy with the album. He sued Young for making what he called uncharacteristic music. Young countersued, and both the lawsuits were dropped pretty quickly. Geffen reportedly personally apologized to Young. But it wasn't just Trans that caused the lawsuit. After the label had told Young they wanted a rock and roll album, he responded by making another uncharacteristic album, this time Rockabilly, for 1983's Everybody's Rockin'. But that is for another time. Thank you for listening to Bizarre Albums. If you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps people find the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Bizarre Albums, and I'm at Tony Thaxton. You can also like Bizarre Albums on Facebook and visit bizarrealbums.com. And if you still want more Bizarre Albums in your life, sign up for weekly bonus episodes of Bizarre Singles and more at patreon.com/bizarrealbums. And as always, if you know of a Bizarre Album you'd like to hear featured, please tweet the show. I'd love to hear from you. You can even email me at bizarrealbums@gmail.com. My name is Tony Thaxton, and I'll see you next time on Bizarre Albums.